Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. This is a Indie Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. My co-host won't be with me tonight, Martin C. He has informed me that he's under the weather. So with that said, we're going to go on into our Dollhouse announcements, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, the hottest station on the net. We are live 7 days a week with 17 shows hosted by the sexiest hosts. Find out all about the Dollhouse Radio family by visiting our website at www.dollhouseradio.com. Find out the latest celebrity and adult entertainment gossip and indie music news on our Hot Sugar blog daily on the Dollhouse Radio website or the Hot Sugar Instagram page at IG_HotSugar. We are home of the indie artists. We play majority indie music and very few major artists. Indie artists, if you're interested in getting your music in rotation on Dollhouse Radio, email your submissions to dollhouseradiomusic@gmail.com. All music submissions must contain a bio or one sheet, promo photo, and your music in MP3 format, or purchase one of our promo packages available to you on our website. Businesses and promoters looking to advertise your brand or event on Dollhouse Radio? Email your inquiries to Head of Promotions at BrianDollhouseRadio@gmail.com. Our Spotlight Artists of the Month are Audrey Joelle, Takara Hamilton, Spliff Star, Griff is the One, Lone Star J, Feta, and Heroin. Keep up with everything Dalhouse Radio by following us on Twitter at Dalhouse_radio. And be sure to sign up on our mailing list on the website. And now, back to your program.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Dalhouse Radio. That was Angela Royal, the executive producer for Urban, well, for Dalhouse Radio. I almost said that wrong again, but yes, Angela Royal is the executive producer for Dalhouse Radio. So again, thank you for those announcements, Angela. And as I was saying before we had gone to the break, my co-host Martin C. will not be with us tonight. He's a bit under the weather, and we can only hope that it's not one of those summer colds. I'm not sure what it is, but let us also hope that he'll be back with us next Sunday at this time. So our topics tonight are going to be, well, finally, I'm going to go into the topic of Serena Williams and all of the negativity that she receives from the media, supposedly based upon her size. Interesting. And then we're going to have another topic that's going to be different rules for police officers and citizens. And then another topic will be Black Lives Matter. Is it a racist pronouncement? Those will be the topics for tonight. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you do call in to speak with me tonight, make sure you wait for the prompter to tell you to press 1 if you want to speak to the host. Because if you don't press 1, you'll only be in listening mode. So that's the way that goes. So I'll be looking forward to your calls if you should decide to call in. So in the meantime, let us get started with this first topic about Serena Williams. As I said, I have been wanting to get to this topic for a while now, but Martin and I, we would get caught up in our first subject and, thrash about in it and try to come to some kind of agreement. If not agreement, at least we both get our thoughts out on that particular issue. So here on the issue with Serena Williams, I have an article here, and it says that a discussion about body image in competitive tennis became the catalyst for a debate about the harmful ways in which the media discusses Serena Williams' body. The article goes further to say, but just so we're clear, this isn't just about how Williams' muscular physique sets her from other white counterparts. It's about the way black women, world-class athletes or otherwise, who find themselves continuously othered and compared to white women, no matter what they do or how they look. And I just found that interesting, as I happen to have seen Serena Williams playing one of her tournaments, or one of her matches, and she's quite awesome. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the whole match. I say unfortunately, but then again, even for myself, watching her play, it's like I'd be so into her playing, and so into being on her side in terms of hoping that she wins, I find myself actually nervous. Maybe that's not the right word, but I just be so into her play and just rooting for her that I do want her to win. And then again, she being black, and then again being in that particular sport, which had for decades been basically a white sport. We had Arthur Ashe back in the 70s, but again, I mean, it's primarily a white sport. Well, I don't know if it's even correct to say a white sport. I guess perhaps it's better to say that it's a sport that you don't find many blacks in, and then especially in the top echelon of this particular sport or that particular sport. But here we have Serena Williams, actually one of the best all-around players, I guess, ever. Because the article says here that she has won thus far, I think it's 21 Grand Slams. Now, I'm not really a tennis buff, so I don't even know what the Grand Slam title actually indicate or is indicative of. But anyway, she's won 21 of these things, And I mean, so therefore, her prowess in this tennis field has to be phenomenal. And as I like to say, it's somewhat Jordanesque, or like Mike Tyson. I mean, you know, she's on the level of Michael Jackson playing, Michael Jordan playing basketball, and on the level of Mike Tyson when he was in his prime, when he was in his prime doing the boxing thing. And yes, Serena Williams is there like that. But however, commentators, when they like to talk about her, it is a situation wherein they don't really, give her props for being the phenomenal athlete that she is. They're more so it seems, interested in her size, talking about how she's unlike other tennis players. I put it like that firstly. But then again, as we know, when they're saying that she's so like other tennis players, they're more so meaning, white tennis players, and in particular, white women tennis players. You know, because normally when we see tennis players, well, the women, they're not the size of Serena or her sister, for that matter. They're more so, well, they're not exactly petite, as petite is in petite women, just everyday women. I don't want to say necessarily on the street, but, everyday petite women that we run into when we go about our way. You know, but anyway, these tennis players, they have a certain, well, the female tennis players have a certain bodily structure. And it's not as Serena. Serena is evident that she works out a lot. I mean, it's evident that she works out a lot. And it has to be evident that she must work out a lot to be at the level that she is in playing. I mean, because you can't just play sports and expect to be good without constant training. Or for that matter, you can't expect to be good in doing anything without constant training. And I guess weightlifting must be a part of that training. I mean, balanced weight training. I mean, not going overboard trying to lift 300 pounds, but, balanced weight training. This must be a part of that. But as I'm saying, none of the things that she does that allows her to be at the level that she is, none of this is she given credit for. Most of the people, well, the commentators, I've even heard that even commentators, while they're doing I don't want to say orchestrating, that's not the proper word, but announcing her matches. You know how sports announcers. Well, okay, the sports announcers who announce the sport that she's in while she's in it. Those announcers, I understand, they even be commenting on her physique and talking about how it's so unlike the other women. And just saying here, I do have something here. It says here about her abilities. It says here that Williams has been breaking records and barriers in the tennis world since she first started it as a teen, winning her 21st Grand Slam back there in mid-July. And the article goes further to say, and yet despite her athletic prowess, she has been the brunt of racist and sexist attacks for the better part of a decade. Over the years, Williams has been described by online commenters and journalists alike as a gorilla, as manly, and as a savage, even. Can you imagine that? I mean, they talk about her in that vein as if she don't have feelings. I mean, then again, she's a young woman. I mean, not young as 21. I understand now she's in her 30s and still doing what she's doing. But that's relatively young for someone, let us say, who is 50 or 40 in her 30s, and she's still doing what she's doing. But anyway, as I just read, you have commentators and journalists speaking about her like that, as if, she don't have feelings, as if she doesn't hear what they're saying about her. And then again, who would like such things said about them anyway? It doesn't make sense. And like I said, they act like she's deaf to what they're saying, or as if what they're saying about her doesn't really matter at all. I understand that we'll be coming up on a break soon, and I'm waiting to see which song we're going to play before I launch off into another thought. Okay, we're going to have a song now from Jasmine Sullivan entitled Brand New. This is Jasmine Sullivan, Brand New.
Had a dime for every dude with a rap dream. And all the girls will be riding, working two jobs. But the boys at home making mixtapes with a Don't Disturb on the door now. Then I buy a Jeep dress every Friday, cause I go to every show on the weekend. And I gotta look good when I'm repping them. Yeah, he about to sign a deal.
He about to go.
Baby, you him in the new crew you're rolling with. They don't know you like I do. I swear when they start making money, they start acting funny. It's no love when they come up. They get brand new. They get brand new. This one's for
all the baby mamas and the down ass chicks. Remember y'all used to take bathroom pics in the crib, and he said if he ever got rich.
No, I'm dialing your phone, so we both know that I deserve the throne. This ain't fair. Who was there? Who was loving you?
Well, baby, you and me in the new crew, you.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Jasmine Sullivan entitled Brand New. That was Jasmine Sullivan with a song entitled Brand New. And our call-in number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And just saying, I always give the number out twice and try to say it slowly because I recall when I would call into radio shows listening to the phone number, they would say it like super quick and just one time. And I'd have to wait until the next time when they said it, you know, to really get it down, get all the numbers down. So I try not to do that, but do what I just did, say the number twice to make sure that those of you who do want to call in have a chance to write down the number and do call in. So right now, we're still on the issue of Serena Williams, the topic of Serena Williams and the disrespect that's leveled her way. And again now, the things that that they say about Serena, basically it has nothing to do with her performance on the court. It all has to do with nothing concerning her playing on the court. It's all about her personally. What's that word that they like to use in terms of logic or debate or argument? The word ad hominem, I think that's the word, ad hominem, in terms of, instead of speaking about the issue, you attack the person whom you are speaking to. You speak about them as opposed to the issue at hand. And in a real sense, this is what these commentators and journalists do with Serena Williams. They don't talk about what she's doing. They simply talk about her. They keep the focus on her and not on her prowess in the sport and her achievements that she has achieved in the sport. It's just outrageous. And then it also says here in this article that the disrespect hurled at Williams, much of it focused on her body, has been rampant, even among her peers. In 2012, tennis player Caroline Wozniacki stuffed her bra and shorts to imitate Williams during an exhibition match against Maria Sharapova. The crowd and commentators at the match laughed, while outlets like Yahoo Sports described the incident as hilarious. You see, no doubt the commentators were white, as well as the people from Yahoo Sports, also white, and found that hilarious. You know, it's almost on the same level as a white person, you know, doing the blackface routine. I mean, in a real sense, no black person really finds that kind of entertainment funny. But yet it seems like so many white people do find that kind of entertainment funny. But then again, let me back up and say this as well. I mean, I shouldn't say that no black person finds that kind of entertainment funny, the blackface thing. But no doubt there are some blacks. It could be few. I would say it would be few compared to the many blacks who don't find that kind of entertainment funny. But then again, when it comes to whites, again, it's not all whites who find that kind of entertainment funny, but it's most whites who find that kind of entertainment funny, and it's the few whites who don't find that kind of entertainment funny. And by the same token, you know, going back to Serena Williams' situation, that other tennis player, no doubt a person whom she has played against and beat, and this tennis player who decided to make a parody of her by stuffing her bra and then stuffing stuff down her backside, you know, to indicate Serena's, you know, big butt, her nice size, her well-formed butt, let me put it like that. Because to those kind of people, it's just a big butt. I mean, but to me, it's N-I-C-E nice, but that's another issue, you know. But also, you know, even me having said that, you know, I think about, you know, the people who make fun of Serena and her physique. And I think like this, you know, I don't really know the mindset of those people, but I will say just opinionating that the men who tend to make fun of her physique, in fact, I believe that those men are intimidated by her size. And no doubt such men would be intimidated by any woman of that size. So I think it has a lot to do with, you know, them making fun something that they really, can I say, don't like? That's not really the proper way to say it. But I think that that they feel that they have to make fun of Serena to mask something about themselves, or to mask something within themselves. I guess we can say to hide an inadequacy that they feel about themselves, such as not feeling man enough. I'll say it like that, such as themselves not feeling man enough for someone like the size of Serena. So therefore, they will seek to, you know, belittle her physique. You know, that's what I think about the men who talk about Serena as they do. I think it's primarily to hide some kind of inadequacy that they feel about themselves, and they feel quite comfortable, you know, critiquing her physique. You know, because I guess they feel that if they might have the chance, put it this way, if Serena might, well, I could say Serena, but then again, let us say Serena and or other women who might be of her stature were to give them a play, they'd probably, you know, decline it for fear that they wouldn't be able to, you know, engage with anything anything like that. They feel not up to the task, and I guess they would therefore feel intimidated and feel super small, you know, and therefore just have to decline. That's my thinking on that as to why some of the men like to belittle her physique and not even, you know, give her credit for her playing. But as for the women, I guess it's just jealousy that they talk about Serena as they do. And then again, I mean, also, you know, that's that as it is. I mean, that's on one level, or that's coming from one perspective, you know. But then again, we have to also consider, you know, the racism that is in the mind of those people who talk about Serena as they do, because in fact, those kind of people would talk about any. Let me back up and say those kind of people would talk negative about any black person who is doing something better than they themselves can do, or doing something better than doing something better that they feel a black person shouldn't be doing, and primarily because they're doing it better than, you know, that person who belongs to their race. It's ridiculous, but those kind of thoughts are still with us, and it's just unfortunate that Serena Williams has to, you know, endure those kind of insults and that kind of belittlement. It's just outrageous, but nevertheless, she's still doing what she's doing. You know, who knows? Maybe that's something that, you know, because there are some people who the more you come at them, the better they get. And it's not about them really proving something to you. It's more so about, you know, them just saying, you know, to hell with what you're saying. I'm just going to go on and do what I'm going to do. And you will see that it's better than anything that you can do. And it's better than anything that you've ever seen. And, you know, and she just continues to do what she's doing and win these titles that she does win. And I just hope that she continues and she keeps up the good work and keeps her head straight and focused, regardless of what people are saying about her. And it's evident that right now she is, in fact, doing that. And I still like to see her and her sister also, because I like them both. And I would also say that it's because of Serena Williams that I'm going to start watching more tennis than I have been. But however, no doubt I'll only watch the games that she's in, because she's the one that I'm looking to see play. Because I'm always looking for, matter of fact, actually I'm not really a sports enthusiast, but it tends to be that I only become interested in sports regardless of what sport it is. Well, except baseball so far, but that's another issue. But as I was saying, I only become interested in a sport if a person is really playing in a phenomenal way, such as, you know, a Michael Jordan playing basketball, or a Mike Tyson boxing, or even a Muhammad Ali when he was boxing. You know, these people were phenomenons. By the same token, as I was saying earlier, I say again, in my opinion, Serena Williams, her level of play is seriously phenomenal. And I had seen that for a while now, for some years. But it's like now I'm a bit more settled. I can say that I'm a bit more settled in my life, so I can really sit down and watch watch her play, or take time to watch her play, which is something that I will do. You know, hats off to Serena Williams, regardless of what these people say about her. But then again, I mean, for myself, you know, being that I'm talking so much about Serena Williams, and it's obvious that, you know, I really admire her. You got to know that it's kind of well, it doesn't even make me feel good to hear these commentators speak about her the way they do, or even to read of the way that people tend to belittle her. It doesn't make me feel good at all. I mean, it makes me angry. Well, angry may not be the right word, but it's just it's depressing. Yeah, it's beyond sad. It's just depressing, because what I see there is, you know, racism, you know, trumping his hand again, you know, showing his hand again, and nobody's really, you know, pushing back on that nonsense, even in terms of, you know, the sporting arena. Then again, even as they jump on this black woman, you know. But then again, you know, you do have, some black writers who are writing, you know, about Serena and, you know, trying to, you know, prop up her playing prowess, and also, you know, speaking about her, all her accomplishments, you know, as to push back on what these other people aren't saying. You know, well, matter of fact, even on Facebook, I even have seen as of late, you know, people actually posting, you know, pictures of Serena Williams, and I mean, even in like a bikini type thing, which I mean, just saying, they post these pictures, so they think, in my opinion, to refute what some of them are saying about how Serena isn't even built like a woman. But again, that's what they say. But anybody who, well, they got eyes too, but I don't know what the hell they're seeing or not seeing. But it's obvious. I mean, previously, I had only seen her in her tennis outfit, which was quite sexy to me. Well, male that I am, man that I am, quite sexy to me. And then, like I said, I have Facebook friends who they're on, I don't want to say the bandwagon, but they're on Serena, I will say, they're on Serena's bandwagon as well. And they will post pictures of her in a bikini. And I see that, I say, damn. But it's unfortunate that they do that, because we don't need to see all that. I mean, you know, she's not a model. She's a tennis person, you know, and her body ought not be, I'm just saying, in my opinion, her body ought not be displayed like that, because that's not what she's about, you know. But then again, I mean, these pictures have been taken somewhere, some way, and then people get them and they publish them supposedly to show that her body does look like a woman and not like a man. I mean, it's obvious to a duck, to anybody, that hell no, her body don't shape like a man. I mean, we can even think about that individual, Bruce Jenner, a.k.a. Caitlyn Jenner now. I mean, it's obvious he's a man, but then again, he's now a woman. Well, he has some things done to him, and he's considered to be a woman, but, you know, it's even ludicrous to even attempt to compare Serena and that person. I mean, but then again, even bringing up another woman compared to Serena, their physique, totally different. And Serena, oh my goodness. And then again, like I said, having seen her in that bikini type thing, wow, it's just, again, phenomenal. But like I said before, I mean, no doubt those guys who belittle her based upon her size, they're intimidated by her. But just saying, even, well, me being me, seeing something like that, I'm not even intimidated, not at all, because I found out a long time ago, just saying, I got choices, I mean, concerning, you know, stuff like that, and I'm not afraid at all right? We're going to go into a break in like a few seconds, so, and we're going to have a song from Rebecca Jade, from her song entitled Galaxy. But that's going to be in a few seconds. But in the meantime, still on Serena Williams. And then when we come back, we're going to go on into another issue. But again, to me, hats off to Serena Williams. And I don't care what those other people say. As I said, the males, they're just intimidated by her. That's why they seek to belittle her. And it's also that racial component or racist component in there. So now we're going to go on into our music break. It's 5 after the hour, and we're going to have a song from Rebecca Jade entitled Galaxy. This is Rebecca Jade, Galaxy. Here on Dollhouse Radio. And we just heard a song from Rebecca Jade entitled Galaxy. That's Rebecca Jade entitled Galaxy. And I keep thinking I may be pronouncing her last name incorrectly, but the last name is spelled J-A-D-E. So it can be Jade or Jada, Rebecca Jada or Rebecca Jade, her song Galaxy. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you call in, do press 1 to talk. But as I said before, wait for the automated voice to tell you to do so. press 1 if you want to talk to the host. Do that, and then I can hear you speaking to me, and I can speak directly back to you. But I had said earlier before we had left that I was going to go on into another article, but then I had also read from this article on Serena Williams still something pertinent to what I'm still talking about concerning her. And this writer here says, in reference to the New York Times, I guess this must be the author of this article is talking about a New York Times sports writer. They say here that rather than focusing on the body dysmorphic beauty standards of tennis and the inherent sexism that derives it, the New York Times instead focuses on the otherness of Serena Williams' body. Female tennis players were asked to discuss their own bodies in contrast to Williams, as if she were the epitome of everything they strive not to be. Muscular, yes, but also black. Now, you know what? Just saying, when I had read this, when I was reading this article earlier, you know, for the show, I came across that word dysmorphic. And naturally, I went to my dictionary to find the definition and what the word meant. It wasn't there. So therefore, I had to go to the internet. And again, God bless the internet, because they have everything on there. I mean, my dictionary didn't have the definition for the word dysmorphic, but the internet did. And I found the word interesting, because what it meant was it's a condition, an abnormal mental condition, wherein a person sees their body part as not sufficient, or they think is insufficient. Like they might think that like their eyes are too small. That's a situation of dysmorphicism, so they call it. It's a psychological malady. That's what they call it also. But anyway, you know, they're not comfortable with how their body looks. They might think that their arm is too long, they might think it's too short, or they might think their breasts are too small, or they might think their breasts are too big. And even their feet, they might think they're, you get the point of what I'm saying concerning this word dysmorphic. And then again, because it's a word of, let's say, psychological construction, it really don't mean nothing, because it's stemming from a person's mind that's not correct. It's seeing something, that person's mind is seeing something that is not. So I kind of wondered when I was reading this article here on Serena Williams, you know, why would this author or writer of this article, you know, use this word, dysmorphic beauty standards of tennis? It was strange. And then, like I said, even stranger when I looked up the definition for that word. Most strange. I mean, yeah. But then again, I mean, that word can be applied to those people who do see Serena Williams as they write about her. I mean, they don't see her as her. They more so see what's in their own minds, perhaps as it relates to something else other than Serena Williams. But again, that's a psychological condition, and we may even say a particular psychological conditioning, which is unfortunate. I mean, you see something directly in front of you, but you don't see it because you see something else. That's on the level, I don't know what it is. It's something psychological, and I'm just glad that I don't have that particular mental dysfunction. That's what I would say about that. And then also the article goes on to say that Williams is simultaneously sexualized and caricaturized other than exoticized. Her body is a representation of her athletic skill, but rather than being celebrated, it's been scrutinized, mercilessly turned into a kind of spectacle for white amusement, with painful parallels to Sarah Bartman. And I had to look up that person, too, to find out who this Sarah Bartman is or was. And again, going to the internet, what I found was that she was some African woman that they got out of Africa, brought to Europe, I believe it was, and actually put her in a zoo for white amusement because of her buttocks, because her buttocks were not like that of the European woman or the European women. Her buttocks were larger and pronouncedly larger. And they saw that not as a thing in itself. They saw it as something something to be laughed at, something to belittle and just make fun of. So actually, they had her in a zoo. Can you imagine that? They actually had this woman, this black woman, and from what I read via Wikipedia, they had like two women who were like that. They may have had more. And they even spoke of the area in which these women were from, but I can't even pronounce that name. Well, no, they didn't exactly speak of the area, but they spoke of the people from whom these people, these women had stemmed from. But it's like an African name, and unfortunately, I don't know any African names or the pronunciation of them. So it was like N1. Well, I seen it, and as soon as I seen it, I kind of forgot it. I can't even pronounce it. I won't even try to pronounce it. But it's just unfortunate. But yeah, but this woman, Sarah T.G. Sarah Bartman, you know, they talk about, you know, the parallels that even sports writers of today make comparing Serena Williams to that person. And this person lived as far back as 1780 something. And now we're talking 2015, and this kind of nonsense is still in the minds of people. Just outrageous, completely outrageous. And then the article goes further to say that the intersection of sexism and racism is something black women grapple with on a daily basis. The intersection of sexism and racism is something black women grapple with on a daily basis. I mean, they could talk about, you know, the sexism as it pertains to Serena. I mean, men just fantasizing, well, not even fantasizing, but, you know, just talking about her physique, you know, and then being that she is a woman, I could see, you know, she's been sexualized, you know, in that aspect. But then again, at the same time, she's also being desexualized, you know, because the way these people are talking, they're talking like, you know, what man would want to be with someone of her stature, of her size. But little do they know, a whole lot of men. But the way it is, not those men. You see, there's a difference there. They think that every person is like themselves, which is not even true. But that's the kind of mind that kind of person does in fact have. They think that the way they think is the way all people think, and it's the way that all people should think, which is just not the situation. And then the article goes further to say that this goes beyond Williams' body. Not only is her womanhood consistently denied, her character is deemed as dominant, aggressive, and arrogant. Everything from her hairstyle to her celebratory dance have been regarded as ghetto or uncouth. No matter her success, her intelligence, or her graciousness, her humanity is constantly denied. That's a part of all that, too. As I said before, when it comes to Serena, I mean, they talk about her and write about her as if she does not have eyes or ears. In other words, as if she don't hear what they're saying, and then again, don't see what they print. And that's a serious, I guess we can say, manifestation or situation of dehumanization. You know, not giving her full props for anything that she does. You know, just belittling everything that she does. It's just outrageous. But again, that doesn't stop her. It has not stopped her. She keeps winning time after time after time. And God bless her for that. So, as I said, so that's the issue with Serena Williams. And like I said, I'm going to begin to watch tennis just to watch her. Well, no, I won't even go there. I was going to say something, but then again, no, because you people might think that I might be perverted or something. But no, I'm not. I'm just a male, a man, and you know, I just like women primarily. But anyway, the next issue that I had brought up, I had wished that my co-host would have been here so that we can thrash around this issue. Is going to be different rules for police and citizens. You know, is this is in reference to the situation that just has come about last week with that cop in Cincinnati, Ohio, having shot that black man, Dubose, there in Cincinnati, which happens to also be the same place where Tamir Rice was also killed, there in Ohio, the state of Ohio, not Cincinnati, but in Ohio. Same thing again. But anyway, I picked out the title, Different Rules for Police and Citizens, because for one thing, I mean, it's obvious now that police person did lie on the report that he has submitted in reference to what happened. And further, his backup police people on the scene corroborated everything that he said. Turned out to be that police person lied, number one. And then secondly, all those who corroborated what he said, evidently and logically, they also lied. It's just outrageous. So therefore, on the documents that they wrote up, those are official papers that are given them to write on. And so we are told, you know how they say on those papers that any false statement can be libeled, can lead you to be prosecuted or subject to prosecution? That's on the forms that police people fill out also, I would imagine. Or then again, if it's not, that right there is a indication of different rules for police people and citizens, which it ought not be. I mean, in essence, you know, I can understand police, you know, having, can I say different rules? Maybe that's not the proper way to put it. But I can understand, you know, police being given, you know, certain leeway in our society. Case in point, the police person gets a call and has to rush off to respond to that call, you know, in traffic going 80 miles an hour. I can understand that. You know, he or she should be entitled to do that because that's a part of their job. Now, take a citizen, a regular everyday citizen, you or I, rushing through the streets at 80 miles an hour, I can understand that we shouldn't do. Because you might want to consider if, let's just say, use myself as an example, if I can do it as a citizen, why can't every other citizen do that too? And therefore, can we imagine everybody rushing through the street, driving their vehicles 80 and 90 miles an hour? No. We can't do that. I mean, I can understand that. No, you can't do that. But if certain individuals, based upon, let us say, the job that they do, have that leeway to do that, I can understand that. Yes, I can. But that's a difference, let us say, with necessary distinction. I'll use that phrase, yes, that's a difference with necessary distinction. The distinction is that as a police person or fire person, they are rushing to a situation that is, well, let's say life-threatening. Primarily, yes, life-threatening. And they have to get there rapidly, quickly, hurriedly. So they have to rush through the street like that. And God bless if they get there in time. So yes, I can understand that like that. That's a distinction. And then it's necessary also that they do move as swiftly as they possibly can through the streets. But again, that's just select people with select functions. That's not everybody. So I can understand, you know, that difference. The difference for, you know, police having that leeway and the average citizen not having that leeway. And even in terms of, I would even say, even in terms of carrying a firearm, you know, I can understand, you know, police having the necessity to carry a firearm, and even if it would mean, but I'm going to hold that thought because right now we have to go into another music break. It's currently 25 after the hour, and right now we have a song from Big Sean featuring Drake. The song is entitled Blessings. So this is Big Sean featuring Drake, the song entitled Blessings.
Look. I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed. Straight up. Look, I live the life I deserve. Blessed. Fuck a vacay, I feel better at work. I mean whatever it's worth, I give whatever I'm worth. For my niggas who gon' go to hell and back for me, I'ma give them heaven on earth for a hell of a check, yeah, whichever come first. Blessings on blessings on blessings. Look at my life, man, that's lessons on lessons on lessons. I treat the beat like it's a reverend. I tell the truth like, Father, forgive me, these are all my confessions. Man, this wasn't luck, it was destined. I done lost homies who been with me since Ed, Ed, and Eddie, who flip like confetti. And then when you back, they back to call you dog. That shit can get petty. Bitch, don't get no dap to me, nigga. Funny thing about talking behind my back is that it just keep coming back to me, nigga. Was off for a sec, now it's back to me, nigga. You mad at me, this ain't what I want, man. This what it had to be. This is LA, not working after three, man. This is why my old girl was mad at me. This why I'm your majesty, man. The click is the tightest, the pussy the tightest. The drinks are the coldest, the future the brightest. The feet not divided, the love is divided. And I just got it, thank God that we got it. Bless. I don't know what I would do without a crew. Look like we robbed a bank, but all we make is deposits. Your profit with profit, oh God. I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
Way up, I
Look,
feel blessed.
I ain't gon' say that we back or nothing, cause that implies that we're back from something. If we're back from something, it's some checks you owe us. I expect that payment, nothing left or over. I don't need them favors that you asked me for. I could give two fucks about where the Grammys go. I just gave out Grammys on my Instagram. Them OVO boys the business, man.
It is what it is. Trust me, you get what you give. Yeah. You gotta come to my side and see how we live. Yeah. I cannot see heaven being much better than this. Yeah. Blessings on blessings for me and my niggas from the six. Look at what we did. Yeah. Be quiet, I'm doing a toast. For niggas that don't really do shit, I swear I'll be doing the most. Stop worrying about whoever's next. I am just worried about my mama worrying less. I think I'm famous enough. I don't need any more press. I am convinced I'm the only one left that's still doing this shit, man. I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
Way up, I feel blessed.
My grandma just died, I'm the man of the house. So every morning I'm up cause I can't let him down. Always down for the cause, never down for the count. I guess when your stars align, you do like the solar system and plan it out. So I'm going overtime on the overtime. Yeah, I'm not invested, but you can't attest it. $1 million goals, man, it's manifested. The family never going anorexic. I pay my mortgage and electric. Never going under, even with anesthetics. At the top of the rap game and progressing. Check after check, checking off my checklist. Try and blow my cake, just know that's a death wish. No mistakes, no life ever, it's only lessons. Shit feel like Shaq and Penny got back together. You tore the game apart, who put it back together?
I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
Way up, I feel blessed.
Okay, that was Big Sean featuring Drake, entitled Blessings. Big Sean with Drake featuring Blessings. And you're listening to Urban Society here on Indie Morrell Dollhouse Radio. Our caller number is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And when you do call in, do press 1 to talk to me here on Urban Society. So right now we're on the issue of different rules for police and citizens. You know, so as I was lastly saying, even in terms of carrying firearms, you know, actually, I'll put it this way. If it was a perfect world, I could perfectly understand, you know, police, only police, carrying firearms. And as for citizens, I would say, again, no, because we fall back to the situation, as I had spoken of earlier, concerning, you know, police rushing through the streets in their vehicle going 80 miles an hour. We can't have everybody rushing through the streets going 80 miles an hour. By the same token, again, if it was a perfect world, which it is not, I could then understand only police carrying firearms, because if everybody had firearms, what kind of world would we have then? I mean, if everybody carried firearms. But then again, in any situation, you know, absolutes aren't applicable. I'll put it like that. Although we may say everybody, it does not mean everybody. But it does mean, you know, more people than necessary when I say everybody. In other words, more people than necessary carrying guns. And then again, we don't know what mindset those people who are carrying guns have. And then again, going back to police, as I said, I could even understand them only having the authority to carry guns if we lived in a perfect world. But unfortunately, we do not. Because the way it is, even police, as we now know, their minds, some of their minds, aren't altogether functioning properly. If that were the case, we wouldn't be having on a weekly, and I guess I'll say first on a weekly basis, these kind of killings that we just had there in Cincinnati, Ohio, with this officer, Ray Tensing, and having shot this guy, Sam Dubois, in the head over a traffic stop. And he's just the latest of many other of these kinds of things having had happen with police and citizens. And mostly it's black citizens that these things happen to. I mean, the other week, last week, my co-host and I were kind of having an argument. He was of the opinion that this happens to everybody, that it's just not blacks, which is true. It does happen to to other people than just blacks, but it is, in fact, more so blacks than those other peoples. You know, it actually is. So the different laws, the different rule thing. But, you know, I kind of wonder if it's written somewhere actually that police people are under a different set of rules than the citizenry. I really wonder if that is so. I mean, in terms of in policing, if there is something written somewhere that does in fact state this, you know, the different rules situation, and then again explain why the different rules are necessary. And it's not just that, you know, they just go about this situation, you know, willy-nilly, you know, do what they want to do just because they can do it. And then once they do what they do, then they justify their actions, wherein actually there is no real ground rules for the actions that they take and then have to justify. You know, I really wonder about that, you know. I mean, even in terms of, you know, the carrying of firearms, if somewhere that is delineated as to why police people should carry firearms and the average citizenry should not carry firearms, you know, but then again, just saying to kind of jump to another area of the gun thing, we have our Constitution, or more so, you know, the amendments to the Constitution, and primarily what is the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. We do have that, but there's a lot of contention, maybe the better word is controversy, even concerning that. I mean, but that's another issue there. But again, you know, different rules for police, and then different rules for the citizenry. You know, I really wonder about that. And then again, if so, why so? And then again, if so, is it really necessary? Because in a real sense, you know, the police are no different really than the citizens whom they police. I don't know if I should say it that way, no different than the people whom they police, or no different from the people that they are supposed to interact with. Because in a real sense, they're not actually supposed to police us, because we are supposed to be, you know, citizens living in a country that that has rules, and those rules the citizens are supposed to understand and, you know, act or react accordingly based upon those rules. And then I guess in a real sense that the police function should only come into play when a citizen or some citizens are not abiding by those rules that we are obligated to abide by. I guess it has to be, it should be something like that. That's when, you know, the policing should come into play. But only when something, you know, has been done. Not just because they may suspect something of having been done, but, you know, through observation, they see something. Then, I mean, just like nowadays concerning the terrorist thing, they tell us, you see something, say something. They're telling the citizenry this. And I guess when a person is a police person, if they see something, they're supposed to do something, or, you know, or even say something to the person who's doing what they're doing. Or if there's no person, let's say if they see something, you know, that doesn't look right, they're supposed to investigate. And then, you know, take appropriate action. You know, I mean, we should have, as I'm saying, you know, the same rules, the same rules that apply to us should apply to police, and like vice versa. I mean, again, within reason. Exactly, within reason. But anyway, having said that, I want to go on now into this article that brought me to this issue about police having different rules than citizens, different rules for police and citizens. Okay, now this article here, it talks about that the University of Cincinnati police officer Ray Tenson has been charged in the murder of Sam Dubois. It is worth asking why officers who lied on the police report are not being indicted too. By all estimations, this was so minor an offense that for a campus cop to be engaged in a traffic stop of this nature is tantamount to open harassment and discrimination. So in a real sense, what this article here is saying is that in a real sense, that this police person, Tensing, like many other police people, when they engage a citizen in these kind of traffic stops, in a real sense, they could use their own judgment and just as well, you know, let it go. This person happened to have had, only one license plate on his car. In other words, the license plate on the front of his car wasn't there. And this cop, as well as any other police person, could overlook that. I mean, because it's not really a crime. It could be an infraction. You know, perhaps there is a rule somewhere, not necessarily a law, but a rule somewhere wherein, you know, a license plate must be on the front and the back. Perhaps there's a rule somewhere that does say that, but then again, if it's not, you know, let it go. It don't have to be. But then again, anyway, concerning that, you know, how this cop had just stopped this guy based upon that. What I'll say there is that, like in a lot of these stops that police persons perform on the citizenry who have vehicles, in a real sense, the way I'm thinking about this kind of situation now is that, again, police people are basically human beings. They're just like any other person, although they have on a uniform. And because they have on this uniform, they are given, you know, they're given authority. I could say power as well, but they're given authority to enforce, again, rules and regulations of the society in which they are, or the city in which they are, and things of that nature. But anyway, how I'm seeing that now is that, as I said, police people are just like any other person. I mean, they work in an 8 or 12 hour shift. And as we know, when you're at the workplace, the more you do at the workplace, the faster time goes. In other words, if you're not doing anything at the workplace and you're there for 8 hours, it's going to seem like you've been there for 3 days and 15 minutes hasn't even passed by yet. So if you get busy, if you do get busy doing something, time passes by, you don't even know it. And you say, wow, it's time to go already? God bless for that. But anyway, coming back to police people, I mean, and these petty stops that they pull on people, I'm beginning to see that as, you know, them doing that just to pass the time of day. You know, granted, it's a part of their job, but then again, you know, in all jobs, a lot of people don't do, well, they don't work all day, put it like that. They don't work all day, and they just don't. So police people, by the same token, I mean, it's their job, but then again, they don't have to work all day and or stop every car. I mean, because that would be kind of fatiguing. That's kind of like overdoing it. And as we know, sometimes in the workplace, you'll find those individuals, you'll find some individuals who do in fact just work all day. They're not happy unless they're working all day. But they could be normal. Then again, maybe they're not so normal. But then again, they know that the more they do, the faster time will go, if they know that. But again, coming back to police people. Now, as I'm coming to think, as I was saying, you know, these cops, they stop us on the street primarily because they're bored. I mean, we could see it that way, to a certain extent, that they're bored and they're just trying to pass the time of day, you know, doing something as opposed to doing nothing. Because, I mean, it takes time to, first off, think about stopping somebody. They see somebody and they think, should I stop them? Should I not? It takes time to think that thought. And then it takes time for them to make up their mind. And then it takes time for them as well to get out their car and walk to that person's car. And then it takes time for them to talk to that person, you know, for a bit. Then it takes time for that person to give him or her their license. It takes time for that police officer to go back to their vehicle and run, you know, their license or their documents through their computer to find out if they got any warrants or whatever. That takes time. And the police person, like I said, working an 8 or 12 hour shift, you know, now they're doing something. They're not just sitting there, I guess we say, twiddling their thumbs and just bored out of their skulls. So, I mean, they're doing something to be doing something. And then again, as I'm saying, now they have ran the person's documents through their network, and they find whatever. Let us just say that they found nothing. So now it takes time for them to walk back to that person's car. It takes time for them to tell the person, have a good day and, you know, have a safe trip. That took a lot of time off that police person's hand that wouldn't have been taken if they hadn't stopped that person. So it's a time thing. It's a way for them to pass time. But unfortunately, the way it is with police people, I guess some of them only want to work just to harass people. And then again, that's only certain people. And it's mostly, primarily, we can say black people, African Americans, because primarily these things take place in African American areas where African Americans basically live and predominate. And they see an African American and say, well, I'm going to stop him. Matter of fact, that's all they do is just stop us all day. But again, it helps time go for them. As I'm saying, that's one way to look at that. But unfortunately, in these kind of situations, when that kind of person is primarily, you know, just, I mean, in a case like that, we might even come to see also that a person like that is having fun. And then again, it's almost like, you know, they're on a chase now, having fun. I mean, the person who, well, like that cop who thinks like that, He may be black, he may be white, but more so than not, he would be white, and then again have that racist mindset. He's having fun now. It's like he's on the chase. You know, let's say out of 10 blacks, just give a figure, out of 10 African-Americans whom he or she might stop, he's sure, because he knows by now, he's sure at least three of them are going to be riding without license, riding with some kind of infraction, maybe the license suspended, or maybe they don't have license at all, or maybe they might even have a warrant, you know, or they, you know, something comes up in their computer on this person. And like by now, they know that like they're going to get about four or five of these people. It's a known fact now. So in a real sense, they're like out there on the hunt, and they enjoy doing that. And again, it helps their day go. It passes the time of day for them, which is most unfortunate because again, when they're out there like that, they're just out there to harass people. But some might say, well, they're doing their job. But then again, as we know, there's a way for a person to do their job. And at the same time, there's a way for a person not to do their job. Just like in the regular workplace, aside from a police situation, a policing situation, and in the regular job format, there are ways for people to work productively, get things done, and there's a way that people work that is unproductive, that doesn't necessarily get anything done, but more so just get in the way. So I said that to say that you know, maybe this is why, you know, so many of these stops take place with the police stopping African-American motorists in particular, because they know that, like I said, out of 10 stops, at least four of them are going to be, let's say, warrantable stops. You know, they can take the person in, give them a citation. Whereas, you know, the other six, they were good to go. Couldn't give them nothing. They had everything correct. Damn. You know, that mindset is there. And then again, it even gets to the extreme when the person being accosted, the motorist being accosted, you know, he or she can be kind of, you know, irate about being stopped, especially when they know that they've done nothing. You know, and then the things escalate from there. But again, so as I was saying about this article that I'm reading from, it says here that by all estimation, this was so minor an offense that for a campus cop to be engaged in a traffic stop of this nature is tantamount to open harassment and discrimination. At least that is known. And the article goes further to say that Mark O'Mara, one of the lawyers representing the Du Bois family, made it clear. If we didn't have a video, I do not believe we would have had an indictment. Now, that just goes to show that that if the video camera wasn't there, as has been said, the lie that police person told about what happened, and being that his fellow officers corroborated what he said, we'd be nowhere with this. Du Bois, Mr. Du Bois, would just have been another black person killed by the police, and the police would have just said, well, it was justifiable. He even said that, you know, he was I'll read it from the article here. Well, I will say that this cop even said that he was drugged by this car, the guy driving the car, and if he hadn't shot him in the head, then he could have been more injured than what he wasn't. So the article goes further to say, if it were not for that video camera, Sam, that is the guy Sam Du Bois, would be no different than all of the other. And it goes further to say, the police who get away with murder, it just jumps there. But yes, police have and do get away with murder, and especially, I mean, when there was no videoed evidence, I mean, they just got away just like that. The paperwork went through, they said what they said, lied as they lied, and it just went away. But at least, well, with the body camera situation, at least now, you know, that cop's feet are held to the fire longer than what they had been held to the fire. You know, so I guess we can say that the body cameras, they do help a bit, But as we know, we've already seen that the body camera don't really help at all, because we can consider Oscar Grant. We can consider Eric Garner. We can consider, well, the Tamir Rice thing is still going on. But like, there are others where the body camera didn't do any good. So again, this article goes further to say that now it's going into what this officer Tenzin said happened. It says that Tenzin claimed that he had been dragged by Dubose and only after that fired on the driver. But nothing like that happened at all, the article goes further to say. The article says further that story, that lie, however, was backed up by all of Tenzin's fellow officers who arrived on the scene. And again, now that's why I brought up the issue of, you know, the different rules for police and citizens. So like I said, it says here that that lie was backed up by Tenzin's fellow officers who arrived on the scene. The police report has reporting officer Eric Weibel claiming that Tenzin was attempting a traffic stop when at some point he began to be dragged by a male black driver who was operating a 1998 green Honda Accord. They lied on an official document. This was written on official documents. And again, concerning different rules for police and citizens. If we fill out a paper in the police station and it comes to be found that we lied, we're subject to even, you know, more punishment if we are to be punished at all. The crime that we were brought in there for or said that we did, that crime is with us. And then now they talk about being that they say that you lied on this form. That's another charge now. And the article goes further to say that Officer Tenzin stated that he almost was run over by the driver of the Honda Accord and was forced to shoot the driver with his duty weapon. But people seeing the video see how grossly this police person lied like that. It's just outrageous. To some people, that's brand new. But then again, to some people, it's an everyday thing. It's nothing new at all. And the article goes further to say that each step of the way, Weibel and all officers cited in the report backed up Tenzin's obvious lie, even saying that they witnessed him being dragged in the way that he described. And the article goes further to say, so when Officer Philip Kidd said that he witnessed Tenzin being dragged, Kidd committed a crime. That's obvious. They lied on an official document. They lied about what happened. Because they're trying to get at the facts of the situation. Just outrageous. Totally outrageous. Then another officer said, looking at Officer Tenzin's uniform, I could see that the back of his pants and shirt looked as if it had been dragged over a rough surface. I suggested to Officer Tenzin that he should go to the hospital for an examination. Then the article goes further to say, so the question now is, why is the University of Cincinnati and the Cincinnati Police Department covering for these dirty cops, and why hasn't the prosecutor lined them in his sights yet? And, you know, it's to be seen as to if these guys, these cops, will be charged with, I guess we can say, perjury for fabricating, you know, a story verbally. And then, you know, because they have to write everything down, you know, lying on, you know, fabricating on an official police document. The average citizen can't do that and be found out and not be punished. So why should police persons, you know, writing false statements on an official document not be punished? Police persons, you know, people that we're supposed to trust and respect. It's just outrageous, totally outrageous. And then again, also concerning this same officer, Tenzin, As you know, he was indicted for the charges, and he was given a $1 million bond. And according to another article that I have here, it says that people from all over the country offered to help pay the $1 million bond for the former campus police officer charged with murder in the shooting death of an unarmed black motorist. That's something right there. You know, that's bizarre that a person who obviously murdered somebody, but again, this is not the first time this has happened. When a cop, white person, happens to murder a black person, and brought up on charges, and the public gets the news, an obvious murderer, and then there are whites in the white community who come to aid these murderers by giving them money for their bail and or their legal defense, paying for their lawyers and whatnot. I mean, actually paying, contributing money to murderers. It just doesn't make sense when you actually think about it. You really have to think about, you know, what is the mindset of those people who would contribute to the legal defense of people in these kind of situations. Obvious murderers. We can only think that these people feel that these cops or these people did the right thing, or that they applaud what they did. They're perfectly okay with that kind of behavior. That's the only thing that that we can really think. Again, just outrageous, just outrageous. And also something else as well, excuse me again, that lawyer, Mark O'Mara, isn't that his name? The lawyer, well, like the same lawyer that had, yeah, Mark O'Mara, the same lawyer that had defended George Zimmerman in the Trayvon Martin situation. Well, let me say it again, because you may not have heard that, but this lawyer, Mark O'Mara, the same lawyer who had defended George Zimmerman in the Trayvon Martin killing. This same lawyer is now one of the lawyers for the family of this black man who has been killed. I mean, when I think about that, I really wonder what's going on with that. I mean, what's really in the head of this Mark O'Mara? He comes out and just defends George Zimmerman just out the blue. We can say, is of the same mindset of those individuals who contribute money for the bail of these kind of murderers and who contribute money for the legal defense of these kind of murderers. And speaking of this guy, Mark O'Mara, he just voluntarily volunteered his services to George Zimmerman. Sure, he could get him off. And he did. But now he's one of the lawyers for this family. I mean, to me, that kind of makes one wonder, really, just what is our justice system about? What is it really about? And the people who work for it, who work in it, that a person like Mark O'Mara can just switch up like that. I mean, because it's convoluted. It really is convoluted. And now I'm seeing that I got some seconds left here on the line. So it's unfortunate that I didn't get to the Black Lives Matter. Is it a racist pronouncement or is it not? But I want to get to that next week, and I hope that my co-host Martin C. will be back here with me then, so we can thrash around that particular issue. And so I probably have some seconds left, so I'm just going to say I'm glad you all listened to the show. I hope you all like the show, and we'll be hearing us next week at the same time, so be sure to tune in. And don't forget to call in if you should so desire, because we do, in fact, look forward to caller participation. And it can only help to enliven the conversation. So now that's about my time. So with that having been said, I'm going to say Urban Society signing off. And you've been listening to Dollhouse Radio. Have a good night.
He told me I can kill you.